Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the BT Powerhouse podcast. My name is Thomas Bendit. I'm the manager of BT Powerhouse. It is October 16th, Friday. So, everybody, hopefully everybody's in a good mood for the podcast today, whether you're listening to it on another day or today on Friday. But, we have an exciting team to talk about today, and that is the Iowa Hawkeyes. We're going to have a great guest on today from Today's U. Andrew covered a ton of Iowa basketball, Iowa sports across the board, recruiting when he wrote for 247's Iowa site. So great expert on the Hawkeyes. Hopefully will provide us with a lot of insight about the team, about where the program's heading, some of the newcomers, some of the returners, all along that board. But Iowa, it's in an interesting place as a program. I've actually written a few articles about them, a good hunk of articles about them this summer, but one of the things I don't think I fully realized at the time is that, you know, historically speaking, this is one of the best runs in Iowa basketball history over the last few years. You know, that sounds, you know, really odd to say because, you know, this isn't a team that, you know, went to the Final Four or you know, has reeled up a bunch of Big Ten championships. But it's been a successful program under Fran McCaffrey. It's made the NCAA tournament each of the last two seasons. Three 20-win seasons in a row. A lot of wins. Some rivalry wins, some big wins. Really across the board, it's just been a good program with a lot of success recently. Having said that, I think some Hawkeye fans have been a bit frustrated that there hasn't been more, Iowa hasn't really been in Big Ten title contention yet under McCaffrey. Maybe this year. Yeah. This year was the first year that it was solidly, you know, there wasn't a bubble issue on Selection Sunday. But still, I do think you have to sit back and realize, you know, Iowa had missed the tournament for what, like 4 years in a row before McCaffrey had arrived. No NCAA tournament wins going back all the way to, you know, the very, very early 2000s, which obviously Iowa got last year when they had the win over Davidson. But I do think you do have to sit back and realize, you know, this is a program that is putting together some wins. It's been consistent. It does appear to the program does appear to be trending up a bit on the recruiting trail, which obviously could yield more wins, more results, so to speak, in the future. So I think overall, my main point here is I think I was in a pretty good spot right now as a program. Having said that, this is really the second or third year in a row, at least a second, that Iowa is losing a massive contributor on their team the year before and is going to have to find a way to kind of get someone else to emerge, put in a replacement for that player and kind of just overcome that loss. And unfortunately, Iowa's actually losing a few big players this year. But the notable one that I'm referencing to is Aaron White. White was just an outstanding player last year. I don't think he got as much attention as he deserves. I kind of have a theory, which I don't want to get too off track here, since we're talking about White in Iowa, but I have a theory that, you know, people like to see guys who are awesome in one area. You know, they love a guy who can score a lot. They love a guy who can rebound a lot. They love a guy who can block a lot of shots. And I think generally when people see the stats and they see a guy, you know, at the top or, you know, right there, you know, their eyes get big and wow, you know, this guy's really good. And I think they kind of undervalue players who can sort of do it all, but they're not necessarily elite in one area. And I think to me, the perfect example of that is Aaron White. You know, he was all Big Ten. I thought he deserved that. You know, I didn't think he deserved Big Ten Player of the Year over Frank Kaminsky or something, but I think he kind of got undersold because you know, he could rebound, he could shoot, he could play defense, he could, you know, block some shots here and there, he could get some steals here and there. So I you know, I think he kind of got undervalued because he wasn't, you know, epic in, you know, at shooting the ball or epic at, you know, hitting the boards or something like that. He was just really good across the board. And a guy who we'll podcast about later, but I think kind of fits into that role for this season is Denzel Valentine for MSU. But nonetheless, you know, Aaron White is a big loss, really in a lot of areas because, you know, you're not losing just a great blocker. You're not losing just a great three-point shooter or something like that, where you can say, well, we'll just play the game differently. You know, we'll focus more on, you know, getting into the paint, or we'll focus more on, you know, something else to counter out for rebound. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but you know, there isn't just one area where you can kind of figure like, okay, we're going to drop in this area and we can pick it up elsewhere, because it really was just a really good player across the board. So filling in for him is going to be quite difficult. and you know, we'll see if Iowa is able to overcome that. It's going to obviously be difficult, and there's a couple other players as well that they're losing. But that's why we have our expert here, Andrew. Andrew, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. Andrew, I think this is your first time on our podcast, so why don't you take a second to introduce yourself?
Okay, why not? My name is Andrew Kula, and the reason you're listening to me talking about the Iowa Hawkeyes, I presume we're still talking about the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yes.
Good. The reason is that for the past 2 years, I have been covering Iowa football, basketball, wrestling, and baseball, basically everything for 247sports.com, focused specifically on a lot of recruiting. But yeah, that's what I've been doing for the past couple of years. Actually, I just recently moved on to a different job, but I think I know enough about Iowa from what they've been doing recruiting and obviously following the team. So, I'm definitely the guy you can talk to right now about that. I'm cool with that.
Excellent. Yeah. Just what we're looking for. You know, coming into this year, I was talking a bit about that Iowa's in the midst of a pretty good run historically for the program, and you know, if they have a good year this year, it could really set it apart. What's kind of the general feelings about Iowa coming into this season?
It's interesting. I think it's a one, there's a lot of excitement. Obviously, if you look at what Fran McCaffrey's been doing, he's really built that program, you know, to the point where you know, they're starting to move in a very positive direction. Last year they got into the big dance, obviously made a nice run, got a really big win over I believe it was Davidson. Need to look back and make sure. I think, yep, Davidson. So got a really big win over Davidson, put up a ton of points. And then, so I think overall people are really excited because, you know, you've just seen the program kind of trend upward. And, you know, Fran McCaffrey is a very energetic coach. He's a guy that is very easy to get behind as a fan, I would assume. Comes with a lot of energy, comes with a lot of passion. Kind of known for his fits of anger, you know, his face of just, you know, but that's the kind of coach that fans tend to like and kind of a coach that players like to play for. So when you factor that in, factor the trajectory of the program, factor in the fact that, you know, I was recruiting well, and then throw in McCaffrey's style of offense, which is very up-tempo, fast-break offense. They like to move the ball. They like to score a lot. I think that it's pretty easy to see why a lot of people are high on Iowa
Oh,
basketball.
I think you broke up there for a second.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Not sure what happened there. But and I was talking a little bit about Iowa isn't necessarily losing a ton, but they are losing some really, really good players and Olesheny, Aaron White. Can you talk about a little bit what that will mean for Iowa this season?
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting because in those two players, Olesheny and obviously Aaron White, you're losing a lot. And I think that's kind of the other part of the story that I didn't really get to. And even though there's a lot of excitement, I think there's a little bit of caution just kind of trying to see how, first of all, they're going to replace Aaron White. He was a prolific scorer. He was kind of the leader of that team last year. He could rebound, pass, shoot. I mean, he could really do everything. And he was kind of the heartbeat of that program. So losing him to graduation was really big. And they're going to have to find somebody who can step up and replace his point, step up, replace his leadership, step up and replace the intangible things that he did there. He was much more than a scorer. He played good defense. He was able to move the ball. There's a lot that White did that kind of went under.
Oh, I think you might have cut out again. I think we
I
might
got in
have.
my
Yeah.
basement.
Oh, okay.
Let me go to high ground here.
Sorry about that for everyone listening. But Aaron White, obviously a really diverse skill set for a player. I was talking about this a little bit before you came on, but I kind of feel like players like Aaron White get undervalued because they're not really, really awesome in one area, but kind of just more of a mix of skills. Do you think Aaron White was kind of undervalued nationally last year?
Oh, absolutely. And he wasn't too flashy either, so that's something to consider. But like I said, he could do so much on a basketball court. And if you were to sit there and watch him for a couple games, you'd realize how important he was to that team. And just all the little things they did. And you're right, they completely got over or undervalued. So he's going to be a guy that they really miss, and they're going to have to find a way to replace his production, not just in scoring, but in a lot of different ways.
With that, we can move away from sort of last year and jump to this season. The backcourt, for the most part, looks like it'll look kind of similar to last year. With Mike Gesell, Peter Yag, how do you see the backcourt sort of shaking out this year?
Well, I think Gazelle's going to have to really step up. And last year, I really liked what I saw from him. He's kind of an interesting player because I would say he's a natural point guard. He can pass the ball, obviously, really well. He can run the floor, but he can still get his own shot. Pretty good at driving. He's got a pretty decent outside shot. So he's a guy who's going to have to kind of step up his point production just to try to replace what they got from White. And then Peter Jock is just a kid who has so much potential, and we've seen bits and pieces of it through the past couple of years. Really good shooter. When he gets hot, man, I mean, there might not be, somebody else in the Big Ten who could shoot at the level that he can when it comes to when he's in the zone from 3 point. So he's a very dangerous player. And those two in the backcourt, I think they can really do a good job of scoring a lot. Anthony Clemens is another guy who can probably get some time there. He's a senior, really good defender. He's another guy who last year he kind of stepped up as far as 2 years ago. Really, you thought of him as a defender, as a guy who'd come off the bench and give you a lot of energy minutes. But last year he started scoring a lot more. So he's another guy who, we're talking about replacing production, replacing leadership. I'd look to those three to really kind of make a big difference in the backcourt for Iowa this year.
Yeah, and one of the things that at least from the outside perspective, Iowa's kind of seemed like is they don't seem to be guys who they're going to bring in a freshman and he's just going to dominate. They kind of develop and improve each year. Who do you think in that backcourt, maybe Clemens, maybe Jock, who do you think can improve significantly this year? Kind of along that same timeline for the Hawkeyes?
I definitely think Jock can become a little bit more consistent. Like I said, Clemens, I think getting more consistency out of him too in terms of his ability to score and be a leader out there. So I think both of those guys definitely have room for improvement. I wouldn't even say improvement, but they just kind of have to step up their game because Iowa is losing so much.
I think you might have cut out again.
Hello.
Yeah, you were talking about Jock for a second there.
Yeah, I think that Jock can improve. Need a little bit more consistency. The same thing can be said with him and Anthony Clemens as well. Just consistency, I think, and that's the one thing that they really lost in Aaron White is just that consistent presence of being able to score, being able to do everything that he did. So they need to find more consistency from the backcourt. And I think that Jock is a guy who can step up. He has all the talent in the world. I mean, he's probably one of the more talented players you'll see. It's just kind of getting that more consistently from them. And then obviously a lot of that leadership too comes back to Mike Gesell and just his ability to run the floor, his ability to be a upperclassman who can kind of take control of that offense. And so I think there's I wouldn't say pressure, but it's just going to be interesting to see how they kind of gel.
Mm-hmm. It also looks like Iowa, they have a couple new guys coming in, Fleming, Chris Williams. Do you think either of those players will have an impact this year in the backcourt?
Yeah. I really like Andrew Fleming. He's obviously a freshman, 6'5", 198 though. So he's a bigger guy, has a big frame, and man, he's a scorer. He is fearless when it comes to shooting the ball and got a lot of confidence. He's got a lot of confidence in his ability to make an impact on the team this year. So he's a guy who I could see McCaffrey using off the bench kind of in a spark plug role, using his ability to shoot. And Christian Williams is another player, 6'6", 188, a guard, kind of a swing. And what you'll notice when you look at what I was doing with recruiting right now is they're kind of going after that type of player who long, lanky, athletic, can play multiple positions, guard, small forward, maybe even do a little point guard and be able to dribble the ball. So you're going to start seeing a lot more of that type of player in McCaffrey's system. It makes a lot of sense, too, because like I was saying earlier, he likes to rip the ball. He likes to get on the fast break. So being able to find players who are athletic, who have length, can run the court but also use that length defensively. And that would bring me to Jared Utah, who's somebody we didn't talk about at all, but really he's going to be the guy who has to lead this team this year. And I kind of pivoted there, but I think we need to talk about him, the senior, 6'9", 220. And he's another guy who can do so much. I think he's going to be the guy, when we look at this season, who's going to replace Aaron White? That's kind of the big question, and we talked about the backcourt a little bit and, how they can get production, but it's going to have to be Jared who's going to be the guy who steps up. 6'9", 220, like I said, really, he's versatile. He can do whatever he wants out there. Good shot. He's got that length, so he really plays a factor defensively. And he's just going to have to be a guy who steps up in big moments because right now they're missing that. But everything I've heard, everything I've seen so far would suggest that he's capable and he'll be able to kind of take that position for Iowa and be that guy for them this year.
Oh, I am in complete agreement. I think Utoff is he's kind of one of the guys. I think he's getting really undersold this summer. And it's just kind of a general theme. I think Iowa was I don't want to get too off track on last year, but I really think Iowa was really underrated last year as a team. I think people looked at because they couldn't quite beat those top end teams, like Wisconsin or Iowa State, that they really kind of got knocked down and people underrated how good they were. But I thought Utah was really good last year and he definitely could grow. Would you agree with that? Or?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see because last year he really played that complimentary role to Aaron White, So White was kind of the guy and Utah was, at times though, when you were to watch Iowa's games, he was kind of, if White was A, Utah was 1B, so he was right there with Aaron White as far as his ability to impact the game, as far as his ability to kind of be the guy for the team. So I think, you know, one more off season has gone past. He's in his senior year. I can see him kind of shouldering the load for Iowa and being able to kind of lead that team, because he has all the physical talent in the world, and I think he'll be able to handle that pressure as well of being, you know, quote unquote, the guy.
Mm-hmm. And with that, why don't we jump right into the wings? I know we've already talked about a couple of them, but one of the players I don't think we have. I think there's a couple of incoming recruits. How do you see the wings sort of shaking out? Obviously, outside of Utah, who we've already talked about here for a little bit.
It's gonna be interesting. Dom Mule is a guy who he's more of a power forward type, but like I was just talking about, McCaffrey kind of really likes the athletic swing type players who can do multiple things. I think that Ahmad Wagner, a freshman, could see some time at small forward, 6'7", 222. He's kind of a gritty player, so he's definitely somebody that I would look to in that role. Isaiah Moss, another freshman, 6'5", 196. He's somebody who a lot of people are really excited about. Just another really good athlete, can do a lot. Good, you know, he can shoot, he can dribble. So, really, it's going to be interesting to see how McCaffrey utilizes the players behind Utah, because he's got a lot of options and a lot of really a lot of really athletic options, you know, so he can kind of mix and match a little bit and just try to get some production off the bench. And I think that these freshmen that we're talking about, they all have the skill set and the ability to be people who contribute, you know, in their first year. Now, if that's, you know, if everybody gets that amount of time, I don't think so, but when you just look at their talent, I think that they all have the ability to be somebody who comes off the bench and gives Iowa some quality minutes. Dale Jones is another player. He was a JUCO player, 6'7", 217. So he's got that, you know, he already has that junior college experience. So he's another guy who I can see coming in and being able to fill a role for Iowa this year. So really, there's a lot of options.
Yeah, and one of the, you know, really cool things that, you know, you've talked about a lot here is sort of the diversity. And it seems like, you know, in terms of taller, more athletic guys who can kind of play, you know, at one of the guard spots or move out to power forward, this wing group seems to be deep. It does seem to be a little inexperienced, though, behind Utah, but a lot of talent there. How deep, you know, do you think this is going to be a group that really just rotates a lot?
I don't know. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting to, you know, when you have that amount of talent as a coach, I think there are two things to kind of factor in. First of all, you know, you want to use that talent. But at the same time, if you keep rotating people in and out, especially in a game like basketball where rhythm is so important, you don't really want to kill mm-hmm. that rhythm. So it's going to be interesting to see how McCaffrey kind of goes about it, because he does have a lot of talent and a lot of depth, especially at that wing position. But he's really got to, first of all, balance his minutes, you know, make sure that, you know, the guys who are making an impact are able to make an impact without having to take somebody out and all of a sudden, you know, somebody who.
Oh,
he's going to have to really do a.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. It's okay. I'm going to have to call my cell phone provider and fire them. So McCaffrey's going to have to do a good job of, I wouldn't say coaching, but kind of managing his lineup, because, like I was just saying, there's so many factors to look at. And I think that you can, well, maybe, and it's going to be interesting to see, but I think maybe he'll just have to ride whatever the hot hand is coming off the bench and just kind of, you know, that could change every game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it's going to be, I think early in the year they're going to slide around a lot of those wing guys around, some of those backups. See who, because I mean, I think at least for me in the backcourt and the wing, it's pretty clear that Utah and Gazelle are locks to start, and then after that it's going to kind of mix and match. And I think he's just going to kind of move Utah to fit, you know, whatever goes best, which is at least a nice position to be in, to have that that extra flexibility, I guess. Would you agree with that? Or
Oh, absolutely. And I think that when you look at the way that Iowa is recruiting, they're kind of setting themselves up to have that flexibility. I would say that that's something McCaffrey and his staff are looking for is just versatility and the ability to kind of mix and match lineups and put a guy who you brought in as a power forward, put him at small forward, and then all of a sudden you have a bigger lineup, or you move him down the center and you're going with a smaller lineup trying to get some speed out there. So I think that he likes that versatility. Everything that I've seen from his, just from what he's done with the current roster last year to what he's doing with recruiting, I think versatility is probably the word that you want to look at. And to your point earlier, if you go back to last season, we keep doing this, but it's really the only reference we have right now for this team other than the PTL league. If you go back to last season, in that first chunk of games, first month or so when they were playing, smaller teams, mostly at home, games that they should win easily and they really did win easily, you could see that McCaffrey was really kind of tinkering with the lineup. He had a large rotation. I think like 10 guys would get in. He would really go deep on his bench. But then by the time the Big Ten season rolled around, that rotation really tightened up quickly. So I think we'll see the same thing this year.
Yeah, I'm definitely in agreement there. But spinning off of that, getting to front court here, obviously losing a huge player in Olesheny. I know he may have not dominated the minutes up there, but had a huge presence for the team. How do you see the front court shaking out this year?
Well, that's going to be another interesting spot. Obviously, at center, you're going to get Adam Woodbury, 7'1", 249. He's a big guy, and he's improved. But he's an interesting player because he has so much potential, and I think Iowa fans are so wrapped up in his potential and the fact that man, he never really, 7'1", 249, and he's got some skills, down near the basket. And the fact that he's not getting double doubles on a game in, game out basis is a little bit frustrating when you just look at what he brings to the table. So he's definitely a guy who I think needs to step up this year. It's kind of an interesting spot because of the way that Iowa plays. They're a high tempo, fast break type team, and then there you have Woodbury, who's definitely the stand on the block, give it into him, post up. So he kind of presents an interesting option for them when they do want to slow it down and get into the half court offense. And I think he's a guy who, he plays with a lot of fire, a lot of intensity. He can be physical. So he's definitely a guy that I would look at and say that, this he's going to have to be a guy who steps up. As far as who ends up at power forward, I think they definitely have a couple options. Dom Muehl, I mentioned earlier. They could always move Utah to the four and go with somebody else at the three. I could easily see a lineup of Gazelle, Clemens, at three put Peter Jok, four, Utah, and five Woodbury. So they kind of have a couple different options. Earlier I mentioned Dale Jones. I don't know if he can necessarily play power forward, but he's definitely, athletic, lanky. So he's a guy who I can see getting some time there. They have a lot of options, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but that's kind of what it's going to be is, I can see them really shuffling, where, and you said earlier, where Utah is kind of determines who fills in at the four or who goes down to the three. So it's going to be interesting. I think Ahmad Wagner is another guy who can get some time there. I mean, it's really going to depend who ends up playing best. I think what it comes down to is Woodbury will be the guy at center. Who they bring in behind him is going to be kind of interesting because they don't have anybody else who's over 7 foot. The closest would actually be Yule and Utah at 6'9". So, when they lose Woodbury from the game, whether it be just to the bench or with fouls, they get a lot smaller. So that's when I think I was going to really have to start picking up the tempo because they'll have to really change their style and not change their style necessarily, but really focus more and rely more on the athleticism and the speed.
So obviously, Woodbury is known for some interesting antics as well as his play. I would say last year, with Kaminsky and maybe a couple of Maryland players. in terms of the I guess the eye fixer, for lack of a better description there. What do you make of that? And is it something Big Ten fans of other teams should be worried about at all this year,
No.
I guess?
No, I wouldn't make a huge big deal about it. The game is a game. Things happen, and especially a guy like Woodbury, everything I've kind of seen from him is he's just a fiery, intense dude. When he plays well, he really gets his emotions going, and when he doesn't, you could say the same thing. That's typical of college kids and athletes. It's such an emotional to play at that level. You have to be so invested emotionally because, physically it takes everything out of you. So you really have to have that extra oomph. So I wouldn't look too deep into stuff like that unless, unless something looks intentional. And that's up to the eye of the beholder, I guess. But I wouldn't look too deep into anything.
I think it kind of got overblown a lot, to be honest. I think he's just a guy who likes to play physical inside, and sometimes, that leads to him getting into a gray area or maybe pushing it a little bit beyond the line. But I don't think anything was intentional. I think it was just, part of the game and unfortunate, step over, I guess. But and kind of and kind of spinning off of that a little bit, Woodbury, I feel like has kind of had a mixed career so far at Iowa. Came in with pretty high recruiting rankings, or at least with some scouting services. Do you think he's lived up to the quote unquote hype, or do you think he will this year, or do you think he hasn't quite lived up to what the expectations were?
That's another interesting question. It depends on what your expectations were, I guess. I look at a guy who's 7'1", 245 with his frame, the offensive game that he does have. I've seen him go up strong, a bunch of times. So he has the ability to be a dominant player who can get 10 rebounds, 12 points a game, a couple blocks. He has that frame. He has that size. The thing that I think might hurt him a little bit is he's the only player on this team who has that frame and who has that size. So when they go up against a team who has two big guys down in the middle, he's really the only guy doing battling down there in a meaningful way. So I think that's one thing that hurts him. The other thing is, again, Iowa's tempo and just the style of play. He might fit more in a half court setting where he can get down on the block, the ball rotates around a few times, and he can work with his back to the basket. But a lot of times with Iowa, you're on the move. So when I look at him, and I said this last year to my readers, he should be a guy, and I'll say it again, he should be a guy averaging a double double. And the fact that he doesn't, in my opinion, is disappointing because, and this is easy for me to say as a sports writer, but at 7'1", 245, if I was that big, I'd be doing everything I could to average double-double. I wish I had that size. So, again, it's a matter of perspective. What were the expectations coming in? I didn't have any expectations. But frankly, I started covering the team 2 years ago, so I had no idea who Adam Woodbury was until 2 years ago. But that again, that's a again, that's a an Iowa thing. Like we were talking about earlier, they tend to be Iowa tends to be a little bit under the radar, and really they shouldn't be because they have a lot of talent. So, again, it depends. Like I said, just what I see from him and what I've seen flashes of him, he could be a dominant center. And the fact that he's not, I guess you could say that's a little disappointing.
I'm kind of in agreement. I don't think he's quite lived up to at least the hopes or the chatter when he did originally commit and get on campus. But I mean, he's still been a productive player, and the thing is, sometimes a player gets overhyped and he still has a year left. We'll see. And it's unfair because a lot of guys really do. I mean, Aaron White was a really good year his whole or a really good player his whole career, but his senior year is when he really tap to that next level. So, I agree. I think we should wait, after this year and then kind of see. And even then, if you're a starter for a whole year, you're not a terrible player by any means.
Oh, no.
But yeah. But with that, why don't we jump into I believe we talked about them all. But Iowa adds a kind of large recruiting class, definitely in terms of commitments, but not necessarily any guys who are, you know, five-star type of guys. But again, a pretty good class. Do you want to take a second to talk about what you think of this class, what you think it might do this year, and also long term?
Absolutely. As you know, my specialty is recruiting right now. I really like what I was doing, and I've said it a couple times: versatility, athleticism. So those are kind of the two keys that you look for in what I was trying to build. The big name right now in their 2016 class is Tyler Cook, who is a four-star power forward from St. Louis, where I'm from, coincidentally. Goes to Chaminade College Prep High School, so it's one of the, at least when you're talking about the St. Louis area, that's a top-notch school. So he's not just a kid who's playing bad talent and he looks good because of it. This is a kid who's playing the best talent in the area on a game-in, game-out basis, plus AAU ball. So he's definitely a really good player, 6'8", 240, good athlete. Again, there's that trend. The fact that he committed to Iowa says a lot, I think, about the program. You know, because he had some very interesting offers, whether it be UConn, Florida State, Iowa State, Missouri, Kansas. So he had some big time offers. So the fact that he chose Iowa, it says a lot about the program. And you know, I think he's gonna end up being a really good player for Iowa. Couple other guys, Cordell Pemsl. I like him a lot. I hope I'm saying his name right. We've talked a bunch, and I've honestly never asked to confirm what his last name actually sounds like. So that's what I call him, Cordell Pemsl. And buddy, if I'm saying it wrong, I'm so sorry. You know, he was Iowa's first commitment in this class, and way back when, man, it was a long time ago, January, February, March, it was May 2014. I remember breaking that story. One of the first recruiting stories I broke, so I really like this guy. Number one player from the state of Iowa, according to the 24/7 Sports Composite, which is kind of the, you know, for those who don't know, it's kind of the average of what 24/7 ESPN Rivals and Scout says. So I really like using that ranking because it kind of gives you a middle ground on everything. He's number 41 power forward nationally, 6'7", 230. And the thing you got to like about him is he's probably still growing. So, you know, by the time he gets to Iowa, you know, maybe he can be up at 6'9", 250 and kind of be more of that big body type for them down low. And another big commitment they got recently was Jordan Bohannon, who, again, one of the top players from the state. Iowa always, it seems like in football or basketball, what they love to do is just, you know, lock down in-state recruiting. I've said this a bunch of times. In-state recruiting is kind of like the lifeblood of recruiting. You know, you can go out to these other states, and Iowa really likes to get into Illinois. But in-state recruiting, you know, you got to lock down the players who are in your backyard, especially if they're talented players. So Jordan Bohannon and then small forward Ryan Kriener. Those are 2 3-star players. Bohannon, you know, he's an interesting guy as far as just really good shooter. He's a point guard. I think he can probably play shooting guard. And then Kriener is the same way. I see him more as not really the same way. I see him more as a power forward, 6'9", 240. So he's another guy who can kind of, you know, maybe he'll bulk up. And that's the thing about these recruits is you never really know how they're going to transition from high school to college. But when it comes to basketball players, the worst thing that can happen is they just put on more muscle and more size. You know, I don't think they're going to shrink. These are big guys. So overall, this is a very interesting class. Cook is obviously the headliner, but there's a lot of athleticism and a lot of talent. So when you put that with what McCaffrey is already building, especially when you look at the freshmen who are there right now, a lot of athleticism, a lot of versatility. I think Iowa's going to be a very, very interesting program to watch in the next couple years.
And just a note for those listening, just so there wasn't any confusion, that was the 2016 class. For those wondering, so they'll be arriving next summer, fallish. So I mean, really two diverse classes that are really going to strengthen the wing group. A lot of talent. depth, you know, and I agree, you know, I do think Iowa, you know, as I talked about at the beginning of the podcast and throughout, you know, it's been a good run. A lot of people, I feel like, are underselling Iowa's run just because there hasn't been, you know, an Elite Eight or a Final Four trip or, you know, a Big Ten title or something like that. But 3-21 seasons in a row, they look, I want to save my prediction for the end, but they look like they should be in decent position for this year. Definitely a program to watch out for. But jumping off of that back to this season, I guess, Iowa has a kind of an interesting schedule. You know, the Big Ten, people kind of know what to expect by now, who the contenders are, who aren't. But non-conference looks like it could be pretty challenging. You know, they play Marquette, Dayton, might play Notre Dame, Florida State, Iowa State, a lot of big challenges. Is this schedule too challenging for Iowa this year?
Huh, man, that's an interesting question, especially when you consider all the question marks about the team heading in. You know, how are they going to replace Olesheny? How are they going to replace White? So, you know, normally maybe you have a couple cupcakes where you can figure things out. But like you said, they have a tough schedule. They're playing some very good teams, a couple of tough road games. So I think McCaffrey, you know, I would think it's kind of a sink or swim thing. You know, let's see what this team can do early on, and then we could kind of establish expectations and establish rotations like we were talking about earlier. What's the team going to look like? How is he going to use his players? How is he going to use his bench? And it's easy. You know, it's easy to establish a bench when you're playing, you know, my high school team down the street. But, you know, playing some really tough opponents, I think it tells you what you have early. And then you can kind of go from there. So I think that if Iowa wants to be seen as one of the top programs in the Big Ten, they have to play this kind of schedule to not only beat good opponents early, but to get that practice of playing big-time teams in big-time spots early on. Because I think you mentioned it earlier, you know, they've struggled at times beating the Michigan States, the Wisconsin. So, you know, this season, they're going to have a lot of experience playing some big games. Maybe that'll help them down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the interesting things, too, that, you know, I think a lot of, at least Iowa fans forget about the non-conference play last year is that, you know, it was on schedule. And, you know, part of that was by design. Part of that, I think, just kind of happened. I mean, you know, Northern Iowa suddenly being a national contender, I don't think is generally a yearly expectation, but there they were, you know. but the thing is, you know, they played, what, five, maybe six really good non-conference games, you know, Iowa State, Northern Iowa, Texas, Syracuse. I know the Orange kind of dropped off, but really the only big win they had was North Carolina, and they still, which, again, huge win. Can't undersell that. But but they still were easily made the tournament. And, you know, maybe this team isn't as talented as last year's, but I think that shows, you know, you just have to take care of business in Big Ten play. And the thing is that if they can pull off a couple of these wins, get used to some road environments, some challenging competition, you know, I think you can, you know, maybe that speeds up the, you know, the freshman learning curve or something, you know, to get into a tough environment, you know, like Iowa State. And, I'm not going to say they're going to go in there and beat Iowa State, but, you know, if you can play tough or, you know, kind of see a road crowd when a team gets on a big run, you know, that could, I feel like could really, help these freshmen develop. Would you agree with that or?
Oh, absolutely. Sports is such an interesting thing. And I think because it plays, now I'm going to get really deep here, but it really plays with your psyche in a way. I remember to kind of use an analogy. I coached football, high school football. So my first game as a defensive coordinator, that game went so fast, you know, because I was just overwhelmed almost to the point where everything was just happening quickly. But then as the game progressed, you know, things started slowing down. I started remembering how to coach, you know. So, and now, you know, you get a couple games in And it's just normal. It's part of how you deal with things, and it's part of who you are. And I think the same thing happens with players, especially when you're talking about young players, is that first game, man, it looks like there's 10 million people in the stand. Everybody is booing you. It's loud. The lights are so bright. The rim looks like it's 200 miles away. And then things start slowing down, you know. And I think partially that's why, you know, teams like to play, you know, my high school down the street, because, you know, it allows these players to get some game experience to get their confidence up. But nothing really replaces a big game, and nothing replaces being able to get through that big game. Sometimes all you can do is just survive it, you know. But once you realize, hey, this didn't kill me, then you start getting a little bit more comfortable, to the point where you can go down to North Carolina, feel comfortable on that in that environment with the TV, with everybody watching. And then it's no big deal. It's just part of who you are. So I think there's a lot to be said for playing big games early, especially for these freshmen.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I definitely don't want to make the case that, you know, just because you play a tough schedule, you're going to be a great team, because, you know, I think we've seen, Eastern Tech, A&M, you know, they can play the toughest schedule in the world, and, you know, they're still a bad team. You know, that doesn't do it. But, you know, for a young team like Iowa, that they have talent and they're going to need these freshmen to play in Big Ten play, you know, going to Marquette, going to Iowa State, you know, may benefit them. But yeah, I guess moving on from that, back to the Hawkeyes themselves. You know, we've talked a little bit about the wing is going to be kind of interesting. But what is something that you think is going to surprise the national media, or maybe fans, or just, I guess, generally, you know, about this Hawkeyes team? You know, some people have talked about, you know, pulling off a big upset, or maybe a surprise guy will start. What do you think will surprise about Iowa this year?
Oh man, that's a great question. You are a pro. You know, I would have to say just the athleticism, you know, and I've mentioned it a bunch, but just, you know, when you look at this team, they're going to be able to push the ball. They're going to be able to push the tempo. And, you know, I think it was 2 years ago, I remember the big storyline around Iowa was just how many points they were scoring, you know, compared to who they were playing. And I think you're going to see a team that can push the tempo. You're going to see a team that can score a lot. You know, Peter Jok, like I said, when he gets hot, he can put up, you know, 5 3-pointers in a row, and all of a sudden, you know, they're do the math. You're all of a sudden that's a big lead. I think Jared Utoff, he's going to be a star. I honestly think so. And I think, you know, he's shown that in the past. He has the physical tools. I think he'll be able to take this team on his shoulders. So, you know, when the media, I guess I'm part of the media, so when we look at the Big Ten, I think he's gonna be one of the best players in it. And I don't know how many people really follow Iowa basketball, so I think that could be surprising to some people that, you know, he'll be mentioned among the best players in the conference. And then other than
Yeah.
that, I think it's gonna be interesting to see how those freshmen are involved, because they have talent. McCaffrey's not afraid to play young players if they're good. So, you know, you've got a couple really good, talented players. Andrew Fleming is a guy that I would really say to watch out for, because he's got that swagger about him. Really good shooter, really good scorer. And he's a guy who can come in off the bench, get hot really quick, and change a game. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of playing time he gets. And you could say the same thing for all the freshmen. They're all really talented. So Iowa's really going to be an interesting team. You can kind of pick your storylines with them. And especially if things get rolling, they can really become, you know, they can become a factor.
I do have my surprise thing kind of fits into my prediction, so I will save that. But I do agree with Utah. You know, I don't want to keep ranting, you know, the same thing that I've said before. But this guy is really getting undersold. I don't get it. Like, to me, the three guys who, or at least two guys, I think are really getting undersold are Malcolm Hill from Illinois and Jared Utoff from Iowa. You know, I think these are two guys. You know, I don't want to talk too much about Illinois. This is the Iowa preview, but yeah, two guys who, if they played for big teams, I think would be getting so much attention. And not to call Iowa a small team, but, you know, one of the marquee or a top 10 preseason team, something like that. But yeah, I agree. I think Utoff is going to surprise a lot of people. But jumping into the I guess the money part of the podcast, I haven't come up with a good slogan yet. The best part of the podcast, season predictions for Iowa. How do you see this team performing in the Big Ten? Where do you see them fitting in? Postseason wise, can they make the NCAA tournament? Are they gonna be relegated to the NIT? What do you expect out of the Hawkeyes this year?
Oh man, you are killing me. I know it, or I don't know. I listen to a guy on the radio a lot, and he calls predictions WPRE radio, and he says he doesn't do them. And I've always kind of been that way too. Predictions only screw you, man. Predictions never come right, but I'll play your game. I'll do it with you. Shoot, if I'm gonna take the hit anyhow, I might as well go big, right? I think that this is a team that has pieces to be very good, especially if Utah can kind of step up. I think he will. So I think when all said and done, I think Iowa can make a run. First of all, I think they're gonna do better in the Big Ten tournament than they did last year, and I can see them making a run in that. And kind of, especially if they get hot, if the shooters get hot, I can see. And that's kind of interesting, too, because either things can go really bad or things can go really good for Iowa. And they've kind of been that way. And that's kind of what you get when you're looking at a team with a fast-paced tempo. Either it's raining, when it rains, it pours, or things are going well. So I think things are going to go good. I think they're going to make a run in the Big Ten tournament. I think they're going to make a run in the NCAA tournament. And I do not want to say they're going to get to the Sweet 16, Final Four, all that bull crap, because you never know that. But I think at the end of the day, they'll be in that talk of a team that is a very, very hard draw in the NCAA tournament. And they could beat a couple teams.
Yeah, I kind of see Iowa. I think I'm a little higher on them than most people. I see them around, I think I had them around seventh in the Big Ten, so right in the upper half, the end of the upper half, I should say. I don't think they're quite up to the Maryland's, Indiana, the two Michigan schools, those type of programs, but I do think this is a team that's going to be solid. And I think it has, what should I say? I think they're going to have two things that are going to really help them in their NCAA tournament campaign. The first is, their schedule. I know we've talked about it. It's a very difficult schedule, but the one interesting thing is that, like, I don't think it's as bad as it looks, just generally. It's going to be very tough. Again, I don't want to say it's not, but like, there are some questions about Iowa State, new coach, who knows? Florida State's beatable at home. Notre Dame is going to likely drop off some. Dayton is beatable. Marquette is beatable, even though it's on the road. Like, I think they're going to have a pretty good non-conference performance. And I know, I probably should knock on wood or something about that, but I think they are. I think they're gonna pull the right strings to get a pretty good record. And then, personally, I think Iowa has one of the better home court advantages in the entire Big Ten, which I think says a lot because there are a lot of great home courts. But I think they're going to take care of business against, the Minnesotas, the Northwesterns, the Penn States, the Nebraskas, those types of teams at home. And I think they're going to be able to knock enough of those teams off on the road to get into the NCAA tournament. I'm not sure how far they'll go. Like you said, it's predicting the NCAA tournament is just madness without knowing the matchups. And even if you do, it's kind of madness as we've seen. But yeah, I think this is going to be a solid team. I don't think it'll be a great team, but I do think it's a team that will be able to beat some teams on most of the Big Ten on any given night. But yeah, Andrew, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate your insight regarding the Hawkeyes. Any final thoughts on Iowa, the Big Ten, college hoops before we let you go here?
Yeah, let me just say, like I was saying, I'm transitioning away from covering the Hawkeyes. So first of all, if you know there are any Iowa fans out there listening, which I hope and pray there are, and I know there are, really want to, you know, to anybody who's ever read anything I've done, I really appreciate that, and I want to say thanks. Iowa fans are great. You know, they love their school. And, you know, like what we were talking about, Iowa's kind of undervalued. And I think that's a shame because, like you said, Carver Hawkeye Arena is really cool. Kinnick Stadium is really cool. Iowa City is awesome, man. I mean, that is the college experience. That's a college town. And, you know, with not much else sports-wise going on around the immediate area, you know, those fans there just love the Hawkeyes. And so when you go over to Iowa City and see a game, it is crazy. You know, there's a lot of people who really care about these teams. So I do not think they should be undervalued because it's a cool place to play, especially, you know, just switching to football for 1 second. They've got that new, you know, they've got the new facilities. So they've really invested a lot in Hawkeye sports, and the fans, I think, are 10 times even more invested. So it's going to be interesting to see what Iowa can do. Back to basketball, I think McCaffrey is a great coach, and he's moving that program in the right direction. So good luck, Hawkeyes. I think there's a lot to like there. I think there's definitely a lot to like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, Andrew, thanks for joining us, and we appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks. And again, that was Andrew Kula from Today's U is where he writes now. I've recommended – I actually do some writing for Today's U as well. Andrew does a lot of the recruiting stuff over there. If you're into college sports, which if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming you are, definitely check out Today's U. You know, it's really a site that's coming on, and I think is putting out a lot of great content there. But, yeah, really appreciate Andrew coming over and joining us. And thanks for everyone for listening today. Our Iowa podcast preview. Hawkeyes look like a intriguing team this year. Maybe not necessarily a Big Ten title contender, but a team that I do think is going to get into the NCAA tournament. I think is going to do some damage in non-conference play, and we'll continue the recent upswing in the Iowa program. But again, I'm Thomas Bendit, the manager of BT Powerhouse. You can check me out on Twitter @TBEINDIT. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time.